King has come. Merry Christmas. We are so, so glad that you're here today and that you chose to come on this Sunday morning to worship. We're a little packed in this morning, but that just seems right because thousands of years ago in that Bethlehem town where our Savior came, it was pretty packed and Jesus came. Hey, if you haven't been with us through this Advent season, first of all, welcome. We are so glad you're here. We've been in the midst of this Advent season talking about the gifts of Christmas. And this time of year, you know a little something about gifts. And so each week that we've come during this Christmas season, we've been talking about the gift of who He is. That's what our message series is entitled, He Is. And so the first week, we have a gift over here symbolizing that He is coming. That's who Jesus is. He is coming into our midst, into our brokenness, into our hurt and our despair, and that He's coming again. The second week, we came together and we celebrated the gift that He is Lord, that He came not just to be our Savior, but to be our Lord. And last week, if you were here, we opened this gift, which symbolizes that He is peace. And I don't know if you have peace this morning in your heart, but He truly is the Prince of Peace. He can bring peace wherever you are in the midst of whatever you're going through. Today, really excited that we get to open the last gift of Christmas, that He is here. He is here. Not that He was here. He is here. And so this morning, as we worship, as we come to celebrate, let's celebrate the God that is here. He is among us. He has come. He is our Lord and our Savior. Be born in me. Would you stand as we prepare to worship, and let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this Christmas season. Lord, we don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want to just celebrate traditions, and all of that is so good, Lord, but I don't want to miss that baby born for me, that You are here today, and so I thank You for Your presence. We're going to worship You now. We're going to sing joy to the world and celebrate that You did come, but that You're here and that You're coming again. We love You, and we bless Your name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship.
Good morning. Merry Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas Eve. There we go. I will move the book around while I read, but no worries because there will be pictures behind me in case you can't see the pictures. This Christmas has been so busy for me, and not everything has always turned out just how I wanted. Even this morning was a little more Christmas than Christmas, a little more out of what I wanted it to be. But this book has been a good reminder for me to read this season to remind me that when our Christmas feels a little more messy than we anticipate, that Jesus came into that. So let me go ahead and read. The book is called Good Night Manger. Stars are twinkling, baby's fed. Mama says, it's time for bed. Hug him, squeeze him, hold him tight. Dim the lanterns. Say good night. In the manger, baby goes, wiggle fingers, wiggle toes. Hen and donkey gather round. Hush, says Papa, not a sound. Cluck, he's cute. Oh, yes, hee-haw. Now, sleepy baby starts to. Shh, brays donkey, time for bed. Here's a pillow for your head. Hay smells sweet, but how it itches. Baby wriggles, squirms, and twitches. Hen adds feathers, soft and brown. Baby grabs some, snuggles down. Soon, hosannas overhead rouse the little sleepy head. Angels' voices shout with joy, meet this precious baby boy! Mama says, be quiet, please. Your voices carry over the breeze. Pa rocks baby to and fro. Does he slumber? No, no, no. Flying angels and a star soon bring help from near and far. Goats clink horns and foxes dance. Will baby doze now? Not a chance. Sheep leap railings, tipping pails, tumble, splash, poor baby wails. So much noise, he just can't sleep. Tap, tap, behind the sheep. Three kings knock at stable door with royal pomp and gifts galore. Mama's frantic in a tizzy. Who knew stables were so busy? Mama says, here's what we'll do. Sing a quiet song or two. Then with voices big and small, gentle singing fills the stall. Baby smiles, stretching, yawn, rubbing eyes. Baby sleeps as stars on high twinkle to the lullaby. Good night, manger. Good night, stall. Time to sleep now, one and all. Here we go. And they found peace and quiet in worshiping the newborn baby Christ. And as we sing these next songs, I want us to hold in our heart that peace comes in that worshiping of the Christ child. Thank you, guys.
I love that song. I don't know how many of you have the Boney M. rendition. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, and I'm sorry for you. But you got to YouTube that. They kind of get with it at the end. They got a kind of a final chorus that goes, "Oh, my Lord." Y'all have heard this? "Oh, my Lord, you sent your son to save us." Oh, that's Christmas. You sent your son to save us. "Oh, my Lord, your very self you gave us, that sin may not enslave us and love may reign once more." Wow. It is a season of gifts. And talk about a gift. Look here a minute, will you? Look here. Wrapped all in red. This is my dear friend, Brian Charette. And I thought, we need a story about a gift, and I never heard a better Christmas gift story than Brian's story. So share it with us, Brian.
Sure.
Take your time.
It was... He doesn't mean that. And the balcony people do not want me to take my time. It was a long time ago. I was 9 years old. And I remember I wanted a particular gift more than I had ever wanted a Christmas gift in my life. And maybe more than I have since. It was a Coleco table hockey game with the Boston Bruins against the Chicago Blackhawks, and an authentic scoreboard and puck dropping mechanism. It was not a video game. This was just barely, time was just barely electricity. It was not a video game, and it was not an air hockey game. It was a table hockey game, a rod table hockey game with, as long as players moved back and forth, they were moving players, and the goalie moved laterally, and there were plenty of sharp metal edges and swallowing hazards and choking. It was wonderful, but I knew I wasn't going to get it. It was outlandish to think that I was going to get the Coleco table hockey game with the Boston Bruins against the Chicago Blackhawks. I knew it. Even as a 9-year-old, I knew I was not going to get this game. It was too big. It was too outlandish. So even then, I was talking myself into being happy with what I got. I knew that my grandmother would give me what she always gave me, 2 quarters and a soap on a rope. I don't know what that says when you give a 9-year-old a hygiene product, but I knew there would be 2 quarters and soap on the rope, and I convinced myself that I'd be happy with whatever was there, and I knew there would not be a hockey game under the tree. And so we opened our presents on Christmas morning, because we're American. We don't do the Christmas Eve open one thing. We opened our presents on Christmas morning, and I remember walking into our little living room, and there was that giant rectangle. That giant rectangle with red paper and cartoon elves, and I knew that wasn't soap on a rope. I knew exactly. It was the biggest, most beautiful present under the tree, and I knew exactly what it was. But what was interesting was I went to the tag, and I was expecting 2 Brian from Mom and Dad, or 2 Brian from Santa. But it didn't say that. It said to Brian from Bruce. Bruce is my older brother. And I opened it and loved it. And later I learned that what he had done was he was determined to get me this gift that I didn't dare expect. And so he went to all the people that he otherwise would have given a gift for, and he said, this year I'm not going to buy anybody a gift except Brian so I can pool all my money and get him the hockey game. And he got me that hockey game, sacrificed everybody else, went without so I could have it. And folks, it wasn't one of those toys that you play with for a day. I played with that game hundreds and hundreds of hours and loved it and cherished it. But more than that, even today, it's the gesture and the idea that you can dare hope that I still remember.
Hooray. Hooray for Christmas, eh? Wow. I just love that story. And Brian, if you would come over here, please. And would you can just hold that box during the service next to you, but you can't open it till Christmas morning because you're American. So would you pick that up, please? And please take it to your seat and just keep it close by, will you? And it says, to Brian from the elder brother. Not only was the gift there, but the gift is here today. And I'm here to report today, Jesus is here. Let's have a hand for that. Gotcha. Gotcha. Oh, I couldn't wait for that moment. I've been waiting for that. Are you coming tonight, Brian? Could you leave the gift here afterwards? Oh, wow, wow. He is here. He is here. Do we believe that he is here? I mean, honestly, do we believe he is here? You know, Bethlehem sort of missed Jesus coming the first time. They were not ready for him. And I've had this thought this week especially, are we ready for him? Are we ready for him? The way we live our lives says whether we're ready for him to come or not. Do we believe he is here? I mean, not only he came the first time, and he is coming again, but he is here. He is here now in his spirit. He is with us. Jesus said, where two or three have come together in my name, I am there among them. And so look to the two or three next to you and say, he is here. This is his promise. He's here. And the way that we live our life ready for his return is to turn from sin and turn to him. And he knows that not everybody in this room is ready for him to come back. And maybe that's why he hasn't come back yet. He is such a patient Savior. He really wants us to come. Now, last Christmas, I made a rescue. I made a rescue the week of Christmas, and I went to the SPCA. If you don't have a gift yet, do I have an idea for you? And our Oreo pup, the beagle, had passed away in June, and we were pretty much intent on not having another dog, but it was breaking my daughter Allison's heart. She would call me and say, Dad, I don't think I can come to your house for Christmas if you don't have a dog. It'll be so sad. So I told Kim, we're going to have to go out. Just look. We'll just go look. You know, that's why Adam told Eve in the garden not to look at the fruit. See, God said don't touch it, but Adam told Eve we're not supposed to look at it or touch it because he knew if they saw it, they were going to own it. And we went to the SPCA to look, and I saw 40 or 50 dogs, you know, a lot of yapping dogs, and passed another animal, cats. There were cats, lots of cats. Nothing really caught my heart until I came down the last aisle of those cages, and I fell in love immediately with Lucy. And she's been at my house for a year, and I want to tell you that if Lucy could talk, she would say, Christmas can change your life. Christmas can change your life. And I've never had anyone in my life or anything in my life to be so grateful. It's like she knows and is grateful that I adopted her. But, you know, the question on my mind is, who rescued whom? Because she has loved me, and I just needed it. I needed it. And I had that question on my mind, and then I had another question on my mind, which is, are we ready? Are we ready for his return? And if he were to come right now before this service ended, could we really say we're ready for the Savior to come and to get those who have turned from sin and belong to him? And Christmas is a great opportunity to pick up on that gift because he is here now. Now, how can you say, Pastor, that maybe he's waited on us? Well, scriptures like 2 Peter 3, 8, and 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So here's the question I really had on my mind. All through the Advent season, we talk about how we're waiting on him. But could it actually be more that he's waiting on us to get right with him so he can come for us? Can you imagine that if a day were like 1,000 years to you? Think how long waiting is for God. Yet he waits because he doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. And he is here today. He promised, where two or three gather together in my name, I will show up. And he is here today to offer the present to you. Not only was he there in Bethlehem, he is here in Harrisonburg, and he is coming again for those who have turned from sin and turned to him. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's a rescue. I love this verse. It might be my favorite Christmas verse, Isaiah. It's a prophecy from the Old Testament. The good news, the gospel, is unfolded in the Old Testament, unfolded in the New Testament. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." I could stop right there, but it gets better. "And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." New Living Translation, "For a child is born to us." Can you look to your neighbor and say, this child born in Bethlehem is our baby? I mean, we dedicated earlier in the service the babies. They belong to the Davids, Drew and Chelsea. But it says here that, "For to us a child is born." This is our baby. Jesus, our baby. Some of you think, I don't have a baby. Yes, you do. Jesus, your baby. It's an amazing thought that, "For a child is born to us." And then I was playing around, and maybe you've seen this before, but it's new for me this season. That's what I love about Christmas. This is my 24th Christmas, I believe, to come and to lead services, and I get something new every Christmas. There's always something birthed within my heart. And I was looking at the verse. I'll come back to that in just a moment, but I want to show you the one that really got a hold of me. "For unto us a son is given." The first word is "for" and last "given." He was given so he could forgive us. Forgiven. Wow! Does that blow your mind, or is that just me? "For unto us a son is given." Forgiven. Are you forgiven? That's the gift. That's why the baby came. Let me go back a little ways here and show you a few other good things. Luke 2 and verse 1. I'm giving you the short part of my message today. The longer part I'm going to save for later, and I know some of you are glad for that. But I did bring it just so you would feel good about, you know, the length that you have to wait. This is this is actually the Christmas story from Luke 2. And I hope you'll take time to read it during this season. Read it aloud at your home, at the table somewhere. But let me grab one verse out of here. It is verse 11. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." It's your baby. It's your Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Dorothy Day was a journalist and an activist for women's rights. She converted to Christianity. And I read a quote from her this week. She was known as a radical. That's what people call her. She's a radical. Well, I want to be a radical for Jesus. I hope they call me that, a radical. I hope if I get arrested for being a radical of Jesus, there will be enough evidence to convict me. I pray that will be true. But here's what she said about Christmas. "I'm so glad that Jesus was born in a stable because my soul is so much like a stable. It is poor and in unsatisfactory condition because of guilt, falsehoods, inadequacies, and sin. Yet I believe that if Jesus can be born in a stable, maybe he can also be born in me. That's powerful. We began with that video at the beginning. Be born in me. It's important that he was born in Bethlehem, but it's equally important that he be born in you, that you embrace your baby, your Savior baby, so he can forgive you. That's what Christmas is about. It's about the giving of the gift of forgiveness. It's about the gift of presence. He gave himself to us. That is the present. Amazing thought. This is one of my, all the scriptures are my favorite, sorry, but this is one of my favorite scriptures of all time because I have it framed and I have it in my office at home. I don't frame many scriptures, so I can't say this is one of my favorite scriptures, and I think it's one of the best Christmas scriptures in the New Testament. You find it tucked away in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. This is the Living Bible translation. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, the sinless Christ, poured God's goodness into us. You know what you call that? A gift exchange. That is the gift exchange of Christmas. Hear it closely. For God took the sinless Christ, his baby boy, our baby boy, the innocent Son of God, and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, the sinless Christ poured God's goodness into us. Wow. Have you taken advantage of that exchange? That's Christmas. That's what it's all about. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This is the son that's been given to forgive us. And you know what? I don't know why you would want to leave here today with shame and guilt when there's a gift exchange underway. And what a deal. He takes the guilt and shame and gives to us forgiveness and goodness. This is Christmas. Please don't leave here today without making that exchange. For unto us a son is given, so we can be forgiven. I've got a new sign in my office at home. I had Mandy Lawson to paint it. I shouldn't say that. She's going to be really busy now because the girl can paint and draw. And this new word, this is my new word, Maranatha. The early church, in case you haven't heard, when they were in the Roman Empire, they're under a lot of persecution and even being put to death. They used to say to each other, Shalom, which was peace. But the peace had been extracted from their exterior life, and they came up with another greeting. It was Maranatha. And what it means is, Amen, come Lord Jesus. And so they were looking for his second coming. They were unlike Bethlehem. Bethlehem wasn't ready. They were just not ready for the first coming of Christ. But these early Christians, they were ready for the second coming. And when they greeted one another, they said, Maranatha. Last evening, I was making one of those last-minute stops at a local department store trying to fill Kim's stocking. And I passed a Christian from the community, and we know each other, you know, well. And we talked for just a few minutes, and then when I left, I just said, Maranatha. And I turned and left, and he was like, I'm sure he looked it up. It's my new greeting, Maranatha. Kim and I were blessed. Kim took me on a date Friday night. Hey, that's a good idea if you're a wife. Take your husband out occasionally. She took me down to the Blackfriars Playhouse, Shakespeare place down there, and we saw the Christmas Carol. Have any of you seen this? Oh, it was awesome. And you know what? I cried and I laughed. Just the way I am. I'm getting old and emotional. But we were watching the Christmas Carol, which is my second favorite Christmas story, the Bethlehem story being number one, and the Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens, being number two. And when Ebenezer Scrooge was walking around going, bah humbug, it's like the Lord said, that's the word that's the opposite of Maranatha. Bah humbug. So if you're ready for his return today, I hope that you will say to someone somewhere, Maranatha. And if you've been saying bah humbug, get over it. Make the gift exchange. I know this is a difficult time of the year. I'm not making light of that. I know it can be very difficult on relationships and some who are suffering health issues, many things that are going on. It doesn't mean that the delightful time of the year it can also be difficult. I understand that. But please, don't live in a spiritual bah humbug. Make the gift exchange. Have Maranatha. Be ready for his return. Be saying amen. Yes, so be it. Come, Lord Jesus. One of the life groups invited us to go over to Williamsburg. I had a busy week. And they have this deal there called Christmas Town. I'm just glad I don't have to pay the light bill. But, man, it's beautiful there in Williamsburg. And I saw this, and I think it's the most beautiful nativity thing I've ever viewed in my life. And I wanted to just bring it and share it with you and say today that Christmas means He is here. And He is here for you. And He is here for me. And there is one more thought. Jesus spoke it Himself about His second coming, about His return. He said, when the Son of Man comes, that's what Jesus called Himself more than any other title. It shows His humility because we know He was the Son of God, but He chose Son of Man because He came to redeem man and woman. And He often referred to Himself Son of Man, I think, to keep Himself on mission, to realize that He was born to die for our sins. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? I pray that He will. Pastor Adrian's coming now with his candle, and he's going to go to the Christ candle here in the very center of the Advent wreath. And some of the other pastors are going to come and bring their candles at this time. And we are going to go throughout the sanctuary, and we'll make our way up on the top there to make sure you get your candle lit. And we want to have a time of celebration. Listen closely to what I'm going to say. Today, if you would like to make the gift exchange by faith, will He find faith on the earth when He returns? My question is, will He find faith in this room today? Today, while we are singing these beautiful Christmas carols, you can say to Jesus, I'm turning from sin, I'm turning to You. I'm turning from darkness, I'm turning to light. I'm here to receive the gift of forgiveness. You don't need me to help you do that. He is the high priest. You can go straight to Him. And I just ask you today to consider making that gift exchange during the candlelit service that we're about to take part in. I would like to say that when you're getting your candle lit, it is always best to keep the lit candle upright and tilt the unlit candle. And if you have children, please be careful. We have in the past had a few set on fire. So just hold it carefully, and then after we're done, please hold it upright for a few minutes just so the wax does not become really drippy. Other than that, now you can go back to being inspired. God bless you, and I believe we're going to have some lights go dim.
Soul felt His worth. weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice.
Sing the chorus.
Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
Let's stand together on this last one.
Oh,
candlelight. Something special about it, especially during this season. I think it reminds us of that night when the light of the world showed up. Well, let's just bow our heads for just a moment. And if today you are making good on that gift exchange, I just want to pray a prayer that you can echo in your heart. Father God, thank you for sending your Son to Bethlehem to be born a baby so he could become my Savior. Today, Lord, on this Christmas Eve, by faith, I make that gift exchange and I pray the cry of my heart would be, Maranatha. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Heads bowed just for a moment. Eyes are closed. You know, I don't want this to be just an emotional moment. I want it to be a time when you choose Christ and you know He has chosen you. A time when you go from spiritually dying to spiritually alive. And that's what happens as we pray that prayer in faith. Today, just so heaven might see, perhaps Jesus is just leaning over, even though His Spirit is here, and He wants to know, is there any faith on the earth today? Today you place your faith in Him for that gift exchange. Would you just quickly, just raise your hand to heaven and just give a wave and put your hand down. The Lord sees your hands. Praise be to God. The gift exchange is still underway all these Christmases later. Now I'd like to read the benediction, and we'll have the lights up just a tad. And at the very conclusion of the service, for the seventh year in a row, we are providing an ornament for your Christmas tree or your rearview mirror, whichever you prefer. There will be one per household. That doesn't mean one per family. If you don't live with your folk, you take one to your house. You got that? So Angela Sipe is coming, and she's going to stand right here in the middle, and she's going to make sure she hands each family representative one of our ornaments. It's the seventh year, as I said, and it's my favorite one yet. It's just a little gift box with the bow looks like two hearts, and it simply but profoundly says, His presence is our present. Not only our gift, but He is here. His presence is our present. He's taken care of our past. He is our present. And He has secured our future. So I want each family to get one of these beautiful ornaments. Send a family member up at the conclusion of the service to get this. Unless you are into self-service, which that's okay. It is Christmas. She could be your helper later years, Angela. She kind of looks like your mini you. That's beautiful. So I want to have the benediction. This is from a Christmas card from David and Rita Gilbert. They put things into language in ways that is heavenly to me. And while they sent it to me as a blessing, that's what the benediction is, and I think you should receive it as well. Isn't it a glorious wonder that the miracle of Christmas has changed our hearts so profoundly forevermore? Merry Christmas. Sure hope you know how very much we love you. Along with all the wonderful things Christmas can bring, we wish you a renewal of joy as in the first Christmas. The Worthy One is with us. He who came down to us is coming again. May He find us awake, a-watching, and about His interests, there's no greater joy. We love you for keeps. Now that, my friends, is a Christmas family benediction. If you receive that, say amen. And now you may very gently blow out your candle, hold it upright for a little while, and there'll be a place for you to place it on your way out. And I apologize if we didn't have enough candles. That's a good problem. We'd buy some more next year. But if you would leave those for the evening service, and please send someone up to get an ornament. God bless us, everyone.